Hey, thanks so much for stopping by. I'm your host, Mikey McDonough, and I'm very happy to be bringing you episode two. Yes, episode two of the Prodigal Son Sports Podcast. Now, this has been a very exciting and much anticipated show that I've been really looking forward to sharing. On this episode, I was happy to have a good friend of mine, Eddie Velez from Oceanside, California, on the show to give a Padres fan's perspective of everything Padres, including a Padres fan perspective and take on the phenom himself, Fernando Tatis Jr. Now, Fernando Tatis Jr. is one of the biggest, if not the biggest star in all of Major League Baseball today. We go over Fernando Tatis Jr.'s rise to stardom from his younger days as a teenager playing in the Dominican League to the actual trade that sent him from the Chicago White Sox farm system to the Padres in 2016 as a young promising prospect. We look at unreal numbers that he has put up in his young career that have him in the same conversation with some of baseball's all-time greats. We go over what he brings to the table in terms of his hitting power, his speed, his charisma, and that swagger, and how baseball and as a San Diego as a city are going to be watching one of the biggest stars in all of baseball for at least the next 14 years. I'm so happy that Eddie made time for me to be on the episode, and we even got to kick things off on the show and shared a story of how a simple chain of events from both of us winning tickets to the same Padres game in 2019 from a local radio show led to a friendship that today I hold dear. And we even recall the moment that he introduced me as an outsider to the world of Padres Twitter. Me get into that too. I hope you all enjoy the show. I know I did. Let's go. Between you and me and everything, the way that we actually met was actually at a Padres game. Mm-hmm. And I know we haven't actually discussed this yet, but I wanted to, just because it was such a cool story, I want to kind of get your input on your perspective of like how we met and stuff. And then we can kind of like go through that together. Cause I thought it was great.
Yeah. So, you know, you kind of mentioned it, you know, we're always on the radio and that's how we got tickets to the game, you and I. And so I remember we showed up, I got that freaking huge burrito. I was munching down and then I saw you and your wife at the time coming back, coming up and you guys sat like right next to us. And so it was just complete chance. We got to talking. I asked you, it was just like, you know, how'd you get your tickets? You said off the radio, same with me. And then, you know, from there, like it was automatic because the first thing that we immediately went to was sports talk and then baseball.
100%.
It wasn't anything that was ever awkward. Cause you know, when sometimes two people meet, they don't really know what to talk about, but for some reason, dude, you and I, we hit it off.
Oh dude, it was like looking in the mirror. I was like, yo, this is my buddy from a previous life. It feels like, you know what I mean? And I mean, we knew all, I'm very thankful for like, that's the way that we met too. Cause like, I can't remember, like I won my tickets on the afternoon show on 97.3 The Fan. Yeah. And I don't know if you had won them just a different day than I did, or if you won it on a morning, but we started talking about the radio station itself. And like, that was like, after that, like it was to the moon, you know?
Yeah. And then we just started talking, you started talking about growing up in Boston, which by the way, like is an absolute bucket list for me. I gotta go to Fenway. I gotta see the Green Monster. I gotta sing Sweet Caroline. Like, and you were talking about on last week's podcast, you're like, you're not a big Sweet Caroline guy, but after being away for a year and a half, you were you were going crazy.
I'm still catching my voice back, and hey, we'll be here for it, man. I'll sing with you. You come out here, man, I'll be like absolutely honored to like take you around and everything, like Fenway, bring you about, you know, to some of the bars around Lansdowne and everything, and you know, if seventh inning comes, man, I'll swing Sweet Caroline. And It won't be the best, but we'll never broadcast it. But
oh no, you know,
we'll make use of it.
It'll be so much fun. So yeah, I mean, we got to talking, and so then let me ask you this, because this kind of leads me on my next point. You were in San Diego for from when till when? Remind me.
So I moved out there in July of 2014. So
okay,
I'd been out there a minute, and I had gone to I love sports overall, obviously, like and. And you and I had kind of talked about this offline and just from a kind of exchange of messages and everything. I'm a sports junkie. So anything to do with sports, I don't care where it's at. I just want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So I've been to a good few Padres games before the time that we had met. One noticeably, it was there was a walk-off against the Yankees, I think, the year before.
I think it was, I can't remember. I think it was, I can't remember which of the Upton brothers played for the Padres.
I think it was Melvin. Both of them played at one time. So we had BJ or Melvin. He went back and forth, and of course Justin. And I think it was BJ who had the walk off there on that one.
Yeah, and it was against the Yankees. So yeah. I
you
was
were
making
stoked.
Sure I was going to that. Oh man, I was making sure I was loud and people knew if there was anybody visiting that was on vacation, that they were going to have a comfortable time and they were going to be absolutely free from any just. We call them mass holes. I mean, I made sure that they heard it for me. So that,
yeah.
I was pretty happy about that. And then the walk-off happened and the laser show and the fireworks. It was pretty good. And like, I love sports, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know obviously the Padres aren't my team that I grew up with and love, but you know, I'd been there for 6 years overall. So I came out in July, 2014. I moved back home in April of 2020. So just about last year.
Yeah.
But from the time that I spent out there, it was a nice time to be out there to see what it must have been like. And I'm sure it wasn't the hardest of times for a Padres fan, but probably pretty close. And I kind of wanted to hear your perspective of it.
Yeah, because the reason I was asking when you were out there, because your time frame, you saw us when we were at just dog crap of a franchise where we'd have 10 to 12,000 people on a Friday night game. It was just, we were the lowest of the low, like around 2014. Preller comes in 2015 and he does his thing. We get James Shields, you know, the Upton brothers, Craig Kimbrell, Matt Kemp. Of course, the one that's been with us the longest now, Will Myers, the longest tenured Padre. And your boy Will Middlebrooks from the Boston. We got him
from
Boston.
That's right. Yep. Big time, man.
So we were like, okay, this guy's different. And there was so much excitement. I remember I've never been to an opening day because I'm generally working a Monday through Friday, but the excitement was palpable that year. Now, obviously we know hindsight's 2020, it did not work as well as we thought it would.
Right.
So at the end of, I think it was a year and a half later, we started trading off and selling it to try and start this rebuild. So you understood the low, you were there for the lowest of the lows, then this little bump and then an immediate low again. And so we started rebuilding and we started going through our farm system. We started drafting, we started trading. We traded James Shields for some kid. I don't know. You might have heard of him, Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, a little lanky fella or something.
Yeah.
Like 17, White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, we hope he turns into something, you know,
anything.
Pretty good. And so that's when it all started. And so, yeah, we were still in the little dog days there, but it was the end of the 2018 season. And I remember watching on Twitter, Fernando Tatis Jr. hitting that walk-off home run to win the Dominican League when his dad was his manager over there.
Yep.
And I was like, dude, this kid's got it. And we had heard rumblings, Fernando Tatis Jr., Luis Urias, Chris Paddock, you know, these guys that we hope are going to be mainstays for us. And then opening day 2019, when he's there and I wasn't at the game, but I watched it and I saw him get his first hit. Just the way that team reacted to this 20-year-old kid, like you knew this was going to be special. And then of course
100%
in that time we get Eric Hosmer going into the 2018 season, Manny Machado into the 2019 season, and then that was really when we were like, okay, something's happening.
You definitely could feel it.
And you were in the midst of that, so I want to get your perspective, because obviously you moved to San Diego right after the World Series 2013 when the Red Sox won it.
Yep.
And so now you're here, but I want to see what was your perspective on like everything that was going on.
Yeah. And it's funny you mentioned that, because all I can think back to and everything too is like, in addition to that, from like a personal standpoint, Don Orsillo got let go by Nesson, who's the sports channel out here in Boston. And when he made his way out, actually back out to San Diego, and he was calling the games with Mud Grant.
Yeah.
It was almost like therapy for me to hear somebody from back home calling games.
A little familiarity.
Anytime I was doing it. And between like Don Orsillo and Mud Grant right now, you'd almost argue that I can't imagine that there's another better duo play calling Major League Baseball games right now, and to
Hands
see
down.
him, oh yeah, and I'm so happy for him. So it's like, it's not even just the players and stuff, it's like the whole Padres organization overall. You could just feel that there was something brewing, and to actually, hear about the rumblings of Fernando Tatis Jr. And this is before, like, he was an MLB, mainstay, where Jeff Passan's talking about him, doing a special on him on ESPN or what have you. We're just talking about, like, Twitter sphere stuff about who's this kid from the Dominican Republic that AJ Preller, and we were talking about AJ Preller earlier. So for the people who don't know at home, AJ Preller is the GM of the San Diego Padres, who basically, and it's almost like he has a cult of personality feel in San Diego. You know what I mean? Like, they have the whole AJ, in AJ we trust. You know what I mean? So AJ Preller has basically taken the reins on the Padres organization under the auspices of, like, Peter Seiler and Ron Fowler, and has really meticulously researched, gone after, and at this point right now, and you can almost see it as a culminating point in 2021, these players of his choosing, and obviously I'm sure there's a lot of other credit to go around, but to see right now, and this is kind of the topic of why I want to bring you on the show, is the phenom right now in 2020-21, and seeing him get to that point is Fernando Tatis Jr. And it was amazing getting to see what somebody was young and promising could mean to a city like San Diego, with everything else that was going on at the time, with the football team that we won't mention that left, because this is about the Padres, and this, and I get it about San Diego, so I'm not even going to say that. But getting to see the likes of what Fernando Tatis Jr. and his hopes and his, I guess you could call it, just like his threshold, his ceiling. I really don't even know what the ceiling is at this point, because he keeps crushing through it. You mean to a city, and it's really cool to see from just obviously my perspective. They're not my team, but man, do I love sports. And I'll tell you right now, I mean, this is the kid that there's a reason I own the sports package on my cable network, and it's to watch him play baseball every night. But, like, going back to you, and being a lifelong Padres fan, like, what does that mean to you and everything to see a guy who's going to be one of the staples of baseball for the next decade, if beyond that, who's already going to be signing with the team for 14 years and over 300 million? I mean, what does that mean for the likes of you as a fan?
Well, I have the game on in the background right now, and he's due up, and they just showed a montage of him meeting with the young fans, before the game. He's taking pictures, he's signing autographs, and that is what it is right there in a nutshell. It's the excitement that he brings for the people who have been here, who have suffered, and who now have this new hope. And also for guys like me, I have two daughters, and they're going to grow up, watching Fernando Tatis Jr. every day on on the TV. And I have a Tatis jersey. I'm constantly talking about him. Whenever we're out and about and she sees another jersey, she's like, "Daddy, Tatis, go Padres!"
I
Like,
love
just
that.
my little outgoing daughter, Isla, the oldest one, just no shame. And see, and that's what it's really about. Because obviously, he's brought a change of culture not only to San Diego, but to the entire to the entire league.
For
Like,
sure.
the swag, he's outgoing, charismatic, and good looking, but he's got the five tools to boot. It's not just one or two tools that he's hanging his career on. He's a five tool player,
Oh,
and
100%,
he's
man.
here for the next 14 years. Like, it's what he's done to the culture of baseball as a whole. It can't be stated.
That's the pretty cool part about it, though, right? I mean, like, the likes of the most, and it's so funny too. There's not just hype there. Hype is, people say hype, and it's when you have a lot of hopes for somebody, but they don't follow through. I mean, at his age right now, and I was reading about his stats earlier, like reaching the age of 22, for the numbers that he's put up, I think even through the last 35 games, with his home runs, RBIs, batting average, only Joe DiMaggio in the history of baseball, the two of them are like, and to be categorized in those names, I mean, we're surpassing the position of shortstop when we're talking about Derek Jeter, A-Rod, My guy Nomar, you know, grew up as a child, but like the likes of him, they were comparing his skill set, his numbers, his rookie year. And granted, it's crazy too because he didn't even play a full rookie season because of an oblique injury. You know what I mean? So like, getting to actually see what he's capable of, people haven't even seen the cusp of like what he is going to be able to do. And the fact that he's in a city like San Diego, which still would relatively in the scheme of things has a young enough baseball franchise where you know, the history of the franchise themselves, you can still think back to, you know, obviously Tony Gwynn, Mr. Padre himself, Randy Jones, I believe, Cy Young Award winner, if I got that
Randy
right.
Jones.
And like other people like Dave Winfield and other promising superstars to baseball, but right now in the 21st century with what baseball needs in a face, in a superstar, but not only that, but somebody who can actually do it all. So when you tune in day in and day out, you don't want to leave your TV. I really feel like this kid is absolutely phenomenal. And it's funny that we were talking about how people outside of baseball might even just know the name Tatis. I was watching the Padres Mets game when the Padres are playing the Mets in Queens this weekend. And
Yeah, at City
my
Field.
mom came into the living room, right? And I'm sitting down there watching me and my dad. And Tatis comes up to bat. My mom goes, "That's that Fernando Tatis fella, isn't it?" I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "How'd you know?" He's like, "You just know." You know what I mean? Which my mother is straight off the boat from England, parents from Ireland, didn't care about baseball until I started playing sports. And even she knew who Fernando Tatis Jr. was. And sure enough, didn't he hit that grand slam to kind of just put them ahead? And it's a special moment where you do not want to miss an at bat. You don't want to miss a play just because of how special of a player he is. And it's really cool to see what he can do for a franchise in baseball and just for baseball overall, like you said, right? I mean, we can think of like the Acuñas, the Sotos. There's a different caliber of talent that baseball has been so hungry for. And you have all these players now that are coming into the game, and it's so fun to see, but it's super fun to watch him in San Diego, man.
Dude, you know what? They just put up the stat, because we were going back to, hype versus reality. And I knew he had some ridiculous numbers, but they just said in the first 195 games of a career, going back to 1905, Fernando Tatis Jr. has the most home runs with 60 home. Just put that into perspective. Like 60 home runs in your first 195 games to your career. Number one above, I think it said Pete Alonso, which in and of itself is ridiculous because well, we won't even go down that rabbit hole. But you think about the people who've played, the Babe Ruths, Lou Gehrig's, the just these home run hitters, Barry Bonds, A-Rod, these guys who are like at the top, Willie Mays, Jackie Robinson, just these pantheon of baseball players, and Tatis is sitting right up there just with the home runs alone. It's insane.
It's amazing to see at this point what he's done. And the craziest part about it is, you know, barring any injuries, you don't even know what the ceiling is because right now, and it's funny too because we talk about like all of this, and like he's on par right now to also steal 35 to 40 bases this year as well. So in addition to popping up like 50 to 55 to 60 home runs this year alone, he's going to be coming pretty close to like hitting a 50 35 or 50 40. Or granted, I don't know, you know, what a season could do, but I mean, people considering him being like on a one, count on one hand list of a 50-50 club of
A
home runs or
50-50,
stolen bases. Could you
that's what
imagine?
I'm
That's so
hoping for.
stupid to say out loud. You know what I mean? But it's
Like th
not.
this this base this game has been around 100 and what 40 years or so, if you do my math. And like in that time, we've never had a 50-50 player in one season. Like that's crazy to think with all, some of the people that we've had, Rickey Henderson, who's, one of
Oh,
the all-time steals leaders, and he never had a 50-50 year. And like we're talking about a guy in his third season potentially being able to do that. Like that is mind-blowing. And again, we here in San Diego, we latch onto this because really we haven't had anybody like this, just like you said, since Tony Gwynn. And we talk a lot about him, and we get those guys on Twitter who are like, could you talk about Tatis anymore? Come on. He's like, guys, you don't understand. Like, this is something that we haven't seen possibly ever. Like, we may be looking at history.
Yeah, oh no, big time. And like just from buddy from the outside who honestly like the vested interest that I have is like loving baseball, being in San Diego at the time that I was, and like getting to say like how happy I am for a city that I know has struggled with just whether it comes to the performance of their sports teams over the last many years or other circumstances pertaining to sports like outside the lines. But it's just amazing to see like what his presence has been able to do. And like obviously it's not to say that there's other players on that team right now that are not I mean you can't on like Machado, Will Myers being there, like you said, like the longest tenured Padre. I mean, you want to talk about somebody that's seen it all? Sit that guy
Yeah.
down in a bar and ask him what it was like to play for some of those teams and stuff. And finally where he's at, especially for all the talk of him where he was considered to be on the trading block on his off year and everything, and what that must have been like for him. But to see a lot of these players, and even the likes of Trent Grisham, who, mind you, we were talking about Luis Urias earlier. AJ Preller's done a phenomenal job of picking out these young players who can fit into a scheme like the likes of a Trent Grisham coming from the Brewers after a debut rookie season where he already had playoff experience. Bringing him into the fold, but also taking away of what was considered a centerpiece, because Fernando Tatis Jr. and Luis Urias, the two of them around the same time, were considered to be the next up and comers. But the likes of Fernando Tatis Jr., obviously, he's here now. Luis Urias, along with other players outside of the Padres right now, were moved along to bring in these other critical and crucial pieces like Tommy Pham, Jake Cronenworth, Trent Grisham, who's all their presence right now. All three of them, if they're healthy, they're starting. One's a defending NL Rookie of the Year, for crying out loud. You know what I mean? So it's amazing to see, but to think that the likes of Fernando Tatis Jr. is headlining this plethora of players, I couldn't be happier for Padres fans that I've met over the years. And it's going to be something special to see for what he's going to be able to do, man. I'll tell you that right now.
Dude, Jake Cronenworth and Trent Grisham, like, are so underrated at what they do. Now, Cronenworth, he did get some of the accolades. I believe he was number three or number four in Rookie of the Year voting last year. But you think about a guy like Trent Grisham, who's really good defensively, really good at the plate, doesn't really have many holes in his game, and one play that he had in the NLCS against the
Yeah,
Dodgers
I didn't even
is
want to say it. I felt
ultimately,
so bad.
oh,
I
I
know.
mean, it's he's a young kid, made
Yep.
one mistake, and that's essentially why they were like, you know what, let's get him out of here. We will reap his benefits. I
Yep.
love that kid.
Oh, he. You want to talk about swagger? That kid has a drip about him right now that I absolutely love, and I can't think of a better real time example on the field than I think it was. I don't know. I think it was a regular season game last year against the Dodgers in Petco Park, and Clayton Kershaw was pitching, and he pinched one off of Clayton Kershaw, and Kershaw was having himself a game during the game, if I'm not wrong here. But the Padres needed something, and Grisham, he sent one into like the beach area where all those seats were, and he loved that, and he took a bit of time, and I would too, man, if I hit a ball off Clayton Kershaw
Oh,
like
yeah.
he did. And I remember seeing a photo of Dave Roberts kind of yelling at him to kind of tell him to like hurry up and pick up the pace. And that was at like when he was actually just going to go to round first. Like he was just getting out of the box. And he rounded third, and there was some chirping as well. And I don't know who said what to him at the time, but he turned around and he looked back at that Dodgers bench. And you can kind of say what he said, but I won't say it for the podcast. And he did that stomp on home plate, and it felt like that year last year that this wasn't your mom and dad's Padre team, and there's something different about this team overall where they just really don't care whatever the history and the narrative was prior. But this team's on a mission, and it's definitely cool to see from an outsider's perspective of someone who just wants fun baseball. And all I can think of is like, man, to just grow up and be a Padres fan and to have these be the guys that are putting on the Padres uniform in 2021 must be something that's surreal.
And believe me, with all of the crap teams that we've had just in the past 10 years alone, like we had that one really good season in 2010, and I remember, going to a few games that year, and yeah, we did lose, to the Giants in the playoff play-in game, and they ultimately went on to win the World Series, but still, like that was like a little jolt into the city that we needed, but unfortunately, we couldn't really capitalize on that momentum, and we hit another dip, and just thinking about some of the guys that we've had, coming through our organization that we thought were going to be guys. Like I remember I was actually at the game where Anthony Rizzo made his debut as a Padre, and everybody was talking about him. This kid is he's got power. He's going to be a phenomenal third base, or yeah, I think we had him at third base. If memory serves me clearly, he hit a triple in his second at bat off the left center field wall, and there was hype, and I was excited. And then we ended up trading him for, more pieces. So like the fact that we are now in a go mode, and we see that the prize is within reach within the next, I'd say, 3 to 4 years. I'm telling you, we have we've. I just can't put it into words, man. We've longed for this.
Oh no, I can't imagine that. You know what I mean? And like it really does feel like you're at a point there where you can really pack a punch. And it's crazy too, because like one of the best teams in all of baseball is in the same division with the Dodgers. But and then there's also like a team there that you didn't consider that was gonna be in the running as well with the Giants.
Yeah,
And
who knew?
who would have known? You know what I mean? Like the NL West itself, if you put, I think, the top three teams' records above all of baseball, I think each of those three teams, if they were in any other division, but besides, and like the AL East, thankfully, I mean, the Red Sox are doing great. And I mean, this isn't going to be about my Sox. I'm going to talk about them 90% of the time, so I'll stay away for that. But like you take them away from any other division and you put any of those top three teams in another standing right now, and they're all in first place by
Oh,
like
yeah.
a half or 2.5 games you know what I mean? At least. So it's cool to see also just great baseball being played on the West Coast overall. You know what I mean? And like, and I'll correct myself as well. I know I meant to say that like Jake Cronenworth would have been my rookie of the year last year, but I know that like Devin Williams, he's the reliever in Milwaukee. He had an unreal pitching year
Oh, he was
with the
filthy.
Brewers and stuff. And what was it? Yeah, he might have been actually. I'm sorry.
No, what I was saying was like his pitching was filthy.
Oh
Like
yeah.
the kid had the kid won the award, based on his merits there. I mean, it wasn't politics. He just was a filthy dealer out there.
Yeah, and for him to show up the way he did, I mean, between him and Cronenworth, and I think it was like Alec Bohm for the Phillies. Between the three of them, it was like neck and neck. The only reason, I mean, obviously, Cronenworth's out there every day playing baseball and stuff. But like, I mean, good for that kid too. I mean, Devin Williams for showing up when he did, because you can only perform when you're given the opportunity. And I mean, that kid showed out absolutely. But I mean, just to think of the likes of everybody that you have on the Padres in the infield, and the depth that now they've gotten in the bullpen with Emilio Pagan, and you look at the likes of like Mark Melancon coming just. Not to say out of nowhere, because obviously he was pretty good with the Braves as well as the Giants or whoever else he's been with in his journey, and I can't think off the top of my head. But you just see these guys that are finding a fitting, and it's just really cool to see, man. And like you look at the likes of what's his name, Tim Hill, coming out of nowhere, looking like he's coming out of his pickup truck from Lakeside, driving over the 52 just to like throw some innings. And like Matt Strom's going to be getting healthy. Drew Pomeranz, just like once he's good, and Craig Stammen just like horsing it out there.
And before this year, who would have ever known who Nabil Krizmat is? Like, I certainly
Seriously,
didn't.
man, like between that and like I don't know, like a shampoo commercial, like if he moonlighted, if he was getting good money, I
Would
still
have been
would know to this
perfect,
day what his contract is like. You know
right?
what I mean? But like even he's like showing out. And it's not as if they're pitching against scrubs every night, too.
No.
I mean, even tonight, as you and I are, we're watching the game on a Thursday night, and they're playing the Cincinnati Reds. You really didn't want to play the Cincinnati Reds when they won 13 out of the last 16 games coming into Petco Park. Any other time of the year, I want to play the Reds. Right now, it's a good game, obviously, but like any other time, I wish the full capacity, like quote unquote, reopening day would have been
Yeah.
against any other team in baseball now. You know what I
They're on a
mean?
roll.
Oh, 100%, man. But it's definitely fun to watch and everything. And like, it's just one of those things, though, even for fans too. When we're talking about the 100% capacity, I want to actually bring up something with you that you introduced me to that I didn't know about, and that was Padres Twitter. And dude,
Oh, yeah.
and this is a separate animal altogether. And just to give a little bit of context for people to listen to this, Padres Twitter is a portion, a very notorious portion of the Padres fan base. I feel like just from like a few key people within that sphere, I feel like I'm like an adopted son, where it's like,
Absolutely.
and I'm thankful for that. You know what I mean? But you introduced me to them, so you were the guy that brought me in the door, man. And it was actually at the game that we met at, right?
Yep.
So when I remember we were sitting down, and you're like, "Hey, it's fourth inning. Like, you want to meet Padres Twitter?" I was like, "What are you talking about?" But do you remember you taking me down there and stuff?
Dude, I remember because that was my first game of the year. And so obviously I had been part of Padres Twitter, and our bit was the team that we played that year, if we won and they posted, the score on their Twitter page, we would light up the comment section with GIFs and memes and just photoshopped photos of like, of our Padres players. And we would just and what's crazy is that those social media teams, they were starting to take notice and they were making posts like, I forget who it was, but I think we shut out a team probably like 7 or 8-0.
I think it's
And
like
they
the Rockies,
post,
wasn't it?
I think so. And they posted, the graphic and the score, and in parentheses said they said, please don't roast us, or like please go easy on us. And
It was the
so
Rockies, yeah.
yeah, so we were like, it was crazy. We were making a name for ourselves. And so, throughout the season, they decided, hey, middle of the fourth inning, we'll have a Padres Twitter meetup, first level behind home plate. And so the entire, like, after I told you, I think I told you in like the first or second inning, and you were like, yeah, dude, that sounds fun. Let's go. I was giddy as a clam, dude. I was like so eager. Like right when the third out hit, we both looked at our wives and we're like, hey, can we go?
Peace.
Are you like, you gonna be okay? All right, later. And so, dude, we couldn't have gotten down there faster. We met up with the likes of Corey Stewart. I think Geekster was there as well.
Yep, she
A few
was. Shout outs to
others.
Geekster.
I love Geekster.
Yeah, me
And
too.
so yeah, we were just shooting the breeze with all these people that we'd only seen on our t on our phone screen. And we were just laughing it up, taking pictures. We took obviously the full picture of the whole group. And it was as like, for lack of a better word, as innocuous as that was, just a couple of people hanging out. It's just like a small little community that I freaking love being a part of. And yeah, dude, absolutely, you've been adopted into it, man.
Oh no, yeah, and it was unreal. So when you brought me down there, man, I didn't know what was going on, but it's funny because I used to be all about those gifts, and I still am. I say it used to be. Are you kidding? Like I have gifts on save, man, ready to just rifle off to any team. I don't care.
100%.
Getting to like put faces to just like social media names and everything like that. I mean, honestly, that's what it's all about, and it's so much fun. And like getting to meet everybody, and not knowing that that was actually a thing, like the fourth inning meetup, and like I really felt like I was getting initiated into something there. I was like, man, I hope they don't ask me where I'm from because they can probably hear me screaming from the top of like the section 323. Like, who's this guy that like he just he doesn't like he sound like he's from here, and he keeps cursing at Bruce Bochy. Every time the Giants are in town, I'm like, I feel like I'm the advocate. I call myself the East Coast advocate for like Padres Twitter. So like, but that was so much fun when you introduced me to that, and like, but then actually getting to go back and like put two and two together, I was like, oh, so this is what they do, and this is the fun I've been having. And it was an amazing experience too, just from like a sports fan standpoint of what a community is like and what social media has done for the likes of the Padres overall. And it's so much fun. And like, you're right, like all these teams now, they know it's like, get ready for the onslaught. That wave comes crashing. And like other like major media outlets have taken notice. So, and anytime you see like the Padres beating another team and they're losing scores and posted on Twitter or any other social media outlet, it's just, but especially Twitter, it's hilarious to see like just the volume of interactions that a lot of those teams get. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of fun. But you introduced me to that, so I gotta thank you for that, man.
Absolutely. Like my favorite bit is like you said, you know, when we win, we'll tear them apart like the other team. But when we lose, if you're not in San Diego Padres Twitter and
Yeah.
you just walked in the comment section, you could have been like, these guys are the most like bandwagon fans, like jump off
Yep.
the adversity. We'll write like I'll say like I can't believe I wasted money on this. You owe
Yep.
me $200. I'm no longer being a fan. I'm throwing away my jersey. Sell the team. And
Love the bit.
people like,
Yeah.
yeah, it's an absolute bit.
Yeah.
But people like, dude, like it's one game. Calm down. And I'll
I know.
respond. I'll be like, you're obviously not from around here. Like,
Yeah, it's
I
like
mean, that's.
just give it a day. Go go
It's
go
just
back
what
and
we
see.
do.
Oh
Yeah,
yeah.
it's what we do. It's a lot of fun. We don't take ourselves too seriously,
Oh
but
yeah.
you know.
Oh yeah. Well, it's like the Rob Schneider cameo in The Waterboy. Oh no, we suck again. You know, like you would see that from just Padres fans on their own Twitter threads when the Padres lose, and it's just the funniest thing to see, because like that basically sums up the like, you beat on other teams, but watch us when we lose, and like come to our page and we'll show you how much we beat up on our own people. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So yeah, but it's all a good fun, and it's such a blast, man. But like, I wanted to make sure at least that I was able to get another fan's perspective of, well, I mean, another fans, I say it like that, but like obviously this podcast itself and this episode, one about the Padres, two specifically about Fernando Tatis Jr. and what he means to the city of San Diego and the Padres organization overall. And I appreciate your time, because I know the Padres are playing right now. We're in the sixth inning and it's a 0-0 game, but I don't want to keep you on the line too long. But did you have like any other thoughts for me, or any other kind of the words, like we're talking about Padres fans, the team, Fernando Tatis Jr. I don't want to put you on the spot and say sum everything up for me, but I appreciate your time. So was there
Oh.
anything that you wanted to talk about that maybe I didn't speak about with you or to ask you?
Well, first off, appreciate you for having me, man. I really do. I mean, like this is a friendship that's blossomed over a really special thing. And just like, you know, the what you talked about with your friend last week, you talked about the experience of going to the ballpark, and like that's really why I wanted to give my two cents on is you know, meeting at the ballpark, how this one simple structure, as simple as it may be, can just bring so many people together, really just make lifelong experiences and friendships. And all it was a free ticket from a radio show. And here we are 2 years later, you know, after, you know, the crazy season that we had last year, you know, I know it's not part of baseball, but the fantasy football season that we had last year, where, for lack of a better term, you were dog crap.
Oh, I was awful. Which, by the way, I was thinking of taking a picture of the sign that I still owe you, which I'm going to be doing. So for everyone listening at home, I lost in our fantasy football tournament, and you had sent me in like a tube of like what an artist would send somebody with a poster, and your beautiful, I think it was your daughter's, man, your beautiful kid's head put in a honk, I suck at fantasy football poster that I have not yet stood in front of an intersection, which I honestly think I might just tape to the back of my truck, and I'm just going to drive around town for like the better half of like 2 or 3 days,
Oh,
and I'm going to
gosh,
make sure
yes.
you get some good footage, man, because I haven't done that yet, and I wanted to do it at the draft weekend. Things didn't line up. We talked about it. I owe you that, and I'm all about that, man. I love the interactions, and this is what we're here for. But I'm so glad you mentioned that to me, because I was thinking if we were going to be doing anything on video, I want to pull that out of surprise. So I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I got the tube sitting right next to me, dude.
Yes, go post it on Twitter for the listeners just so they could take a look at it, because that's going to be phenomenal. But like I said, it's we met one game 2 years ago, and here we are, good friends. We talk baseball, we talk football, and who knows? I mean, if I'm ever in Boston, if you're ever back in San Diego, man, we obviously know where we're going to do. We're going to meet up, we're going to talk sports, have
Oh
a
yeah.
couple of beers, and we're just going to have a good time.
Oh, big time, man. And that's what it's all about anyways. Not just for this show, but I like from a personal standpoint, I'm so glad you came on with me today to at least give a Padres fans perspective, Eddie, because like this was awesome, man. This is everything I ever could have hoped for, because just from a personal standpoint, you and I, we haven't been able to talk for a while. And then but being able to just catch up like this, I mean, it says everything about like what sports can do and how much fun that personally I have, but I want to make sure that other people are having as well. And I couldn't thank you enough, man, for just making time tonight. I really do, because I know you're busy with your family and with work and everything, but this was such a blast, man. I can't thank you enough, dude.
Well, that just about does it. And that's going to wrap up episode 2 of Prodigal Son Sports on Fernando Tatis Jr. at the San Diego Padres. Eddie Velez, I cannot thank you enough for taking time out of your day to come on the episode with me. Everybody, until next time next week, this is your boy Mike McDonald with Prodigal Son Sports. Thanks for tuning in.